Boy, I really missed out on a service last week, I understand. Oh, it really doesn't pay to go on vacation when you have stuff like that take place around here. Thank you, Pastor Charles, for the word you gave last week. And thank you to Bud for leading you folks in worship. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for being consistently at work in our lives. We're going to continue on in this Hebrew studies in a passage of scripture that broads the spectrum from the Old Testament of prophecy to the truth of Jesus coming to fulfill a new covenant with those that turn to Him in faith. And to be honest with you, as we were away this last week, we spent time with family and friends that we have neglected over years of just moving away from everyone in 1997 to Minnesota for the first time to take a ministry. And those types of times away aren't physically refreshing. But they are refreshing in a way that you can reconnect with some people that have just been in your life for years and spend time with family and pour into their lives. However, I tend to have a policy of to never come back from vacation and have to preach the next day I get back. Somehow I goofed up this time. And so last Monday I got out my notes I had worked on. I'm going, what were you thinking? So throughout the week I worked on it. And Friday I came in and worked on it. And last night I worked on it. And this morning I got up early and worked on it. I'm going, got something today. And I'm not quite sure, but I'm just going to let Him take it. How's that sound?
Amen.
Amen. So you want to have your Bibles open to Hebrews chapter 10. Let faith arise spontaneously to the Spirit. Has there been times in your life when you just spontaneously did something out of the blue and in the midst of doing it, you wonder, what in the world am I doing? One came to mind. Brenda's uncle had just graduated PhD in higher education from a college in Philadelphia, and we're living in Michigan in the ministry. And we got the invitation to come to his commencements and a little party, and it was on a Saturday. And Philadelphia, at best, from Michigan where we're living, was probably, if you obeyed the law, a 14-hour drive. So we decided Friday to go, but I had to be back Sunday to preach. I have no idea what in the world was spontaneous. We did it. And we hadn't lived in Pennsylvania at this time, but later we were moved to Pennsylvania, took a church in 07. And when we moved to Pennsylvania in 07, I passed the place where the police officer pulled me over that time that we went to Philadelphia. And all that I did on that spontaneous just trip to go flooded back in such a way I'm going, that was a horrible decision. But does anyone else tend to be spontaneous like that? Anyone not want to admit that they're spontaneous like that? Some of you wish to be spontaneous? Well, wherever you might be in the spectrum, I want to encourage all of us this morning that those who have come to faith in Christ, at that moment of your turning to Jesus, the Holy Spirit brings you into a new relationship. He gives you a new life in a new covenant, an everlasting covenant. He restores your relationship with your Father in heaven, and He takes residence in your temple. And He's just not there for the purpose of not having any place else to go. He's there for many purposes. And one of those functions of the Spirit is that He has this voice that He's longing for God's children to hear spontaneously pursue. He's speaking, but we must listen. He's testifying to the truth of who Jesus Christ is continually in our lives. He's in each child of God, and He's there for that purpose, to make sure that we listen, have guidance, have heaven, that we understand that we're not alone in this journey, that we have a constant guide, we have a constant provider, we have one that's walking with us and in us and wants us to learn to walk with Him. We have a voice of God through the person, the Holy Spirit, who is constantly wanting us to hear Him and to listen to the truth He declares. Before we get into this, in this passage of Scripture in Hebrews 10, verses 16 to 17 and 18 and beyond here, we have a prophecy that's being fulfilled and being told about the fulfillment that was stated in Jeremiah. So Jesus, as we understand, He laid down His life as the only acceptable sacrifice for the sins of the world. His death, the system, those people, and ushered in the better, never-ending, never in need of repeating new covenant. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15, the Holy Spirit bears witness to us by proclaiming this new covenant for the total forgiveness of sin. So let's look at the prophecy first in Jeremiah. If you want to put your finger there and turn back to Jeremiah, it's right after Isaiah. Go to the middle of the Bible and turn a little bit more towards the back. Jeremiah chapter 31. Or just listen as I read it, verses 31 through 34 of chapter 31. All die for their own sins. Excuse me, that's verse 30. That's a great way to talk about your sins being forgiven, isn't it? Let's go to 31. Here's the prophecy. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I love them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them. I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone, the greatest will be, says the Lord, give their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. So now that prophecy, the Hebrew writer is now bringing a summary of that new covenant to God's children, to God's people. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16, and the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For He says, this is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart and I will write them on their minds. Then He says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. So the Holy Spirit is making this testimony. The New American Standard Bible says He gives witness or bears witness to. The Holy Spirit testifies to God's children that those who are in Christ Jesus by faith are a new, forgiven creation with a new covenant. This new covenant is superior and far outweighs the old covenant and cost God dearly for the new covenant. The new covenant cost God His one and only Son. Therefore, one of the functions of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is to remind us, for Him by to our spirit, of the worthiness of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice that would never be repeated again. It's been accepted as the one sacrifice for all time, for all sin, Jesus Christ. And so the testifying spirit that is living as a child of God has a role of bearing witness to the truth of who you are in Christ Jesus because of the sacrifice that Jesus gave on the cross for the sins, plural, of the world, everyone. And so this testifying takes place. We understand from Scripture, we understand from a relationship, that a relationship with the Father God only comes by personal faith in Jesus. In that prophecy of Jeremiah, he's speaking of this relationship hundreds of years before Jesus came as the only begotten Son of God, that God writes His laws in our minds and upon our hearts. His laws are a part of us, not something internally written in spirit, man, woman, and child. The fulfillment of the law comes naturally by walking after the Spirit. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. I love this first verse of chapter 8. So now there is no condemnation belong to Christ Jesus. Does anyone else like that verse? I think you can probably say amen or hallelujah or jump or do something. For there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Verse 2 of chapter 8. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. All right, let's keep it going. That's good. You guys aren't acting like Minnesotans today. This is great. I lost where I'm at. Verse 3. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature, so God did what the law could not do. He sent His own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow, but instead follow the Spirit. In verse 5, those who are dominated by sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Let's take a break right there. See the contrast right here that Paul is explaining to us in Romans 8? If you're controlled by the law or the flesh, what are you thinking about? If you're controlled by the Spirit, what are you thinking about? The spiritual things, the Spirit. And that's a part of that Spirit that has come into each child of God, each believer in Jesus Christ. He has come in and He's testifying. He's bearing witness to it. He's speaking the truth about it. And the struggle for each one of us is not to let the enemy speak louder than the voice of the Spirit. The difficulty for each one of us is to not to allow the past to overshadow who we are presently and who we are in the future. Is that a struggle for anyone else? Oh. Sometimes, take it as I mean this. I wish I was forgetful. Don't place it on me because I'm getting older each day. I've never been this old before in my entire life. Or this old. Or even this. Never. But it'd be nice not to have that memory of things. But isn't it something how the enemy so clearly could bring thoughts from the past when you can't even remember what you had for breakfast? When we allow that to happen, we're not listening to the truth and the voice of the Spirit that lives inside of us. He wants to continue to condemn us, the enemy. He has nothing good for us. Not a thing. In verse number 6, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Stop! Because you're alive in Christ. You're no longer dead, but you are alive. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Oh, the peace of Christ. That Christ Jesus is absolutely amazing. Verse 7 of chapter 8, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Turn also to Galatians chapter 5. Paul gives us another depth to the Holy Spirit in the life of the child of God. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Or, in the NASB, walk by the Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. For nature wants to do evil, just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Have you ever said something and then a few days later God brings it back in a way you weren't expecting? Well, as I'm meeting with Marcus, as we're going through discipleship together, I revealed a part of me that I've always struggled with. And I'll reveal it with you too, because I want to be transparent. When somebody preach or hearing somebody talk or worshiping and leading and stuff, I can tend to become judgmental and by what I hear instead of what they are saying. A couple times I've been really beat up by the Holy Spirit in that. One of the times wasn't the Holy Spirit. However, I shared that with Marcus and I said, you know, it took me forever to ever want to listen to J. Vernon McGee. Anyone ever listen to J. Vernon McGee, the Bible Bus? I couldn't get past his voice. I just couldn't get past that southern, draw, old English voice. And I even played a sample of him to Marcus. He goes, oh, that's pretty cool. Thanks a lot. So as we were driving, we've been 1,800 miles on this past week. And as one of the times I'm just scanning the channels in the van and J. Vernon McGee comes on. And he was speaking on Galatians 5, 16 through 18. I'm not going to talk like he did because you won't listen. Maybe you would. He said, you know, this walk by the Spirit, in the original, the way that was really meaning was learning to walk. That we must learn how to walk in the Spirit. And it just brought so much truth out of that. God does not expect us from the time we place our faith in Jesus Christ to all of a sudden, boom, start walking in the Spirit. We must learn how to walk. When Nathan, our oldest son, was learning how to walk, it was a Wednesday night in my very first ministry, and we were in the midst of a tornado. And so we had to clean out all the classrooms, and we all sat in the hallway of the church. And Nathan thought it would be a good time to start walking. But listen, you know what was happening? All the people in the hall were saying, oh, Nathan, come here, come here. Oh, you can do it. You can do it. One more step. Oh, don't worry. Let's get back up. You can do it. And the whole community is, you know, was helping mom to walk down that church. The Holy Spirit testifies in our hearts every moment of our life. You can take that next step. Listen to my voice. I want to guide you into that life. I have so much ahead for you. You can do. Don't worry if you fall down. I'll pick you back up. Take that next step. Keep coming closer to Jesus. Keep letting him transform your life. Moving further and further away from the past. One step at a time, learning to walk in the Spirit. So thank you, J. Vernon McGee. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You see, it's through the death of Jesus, we understand this as believers, that sin was completely and permanently paid for once and for all. 1 John 2:2, and Jesus himself is the propitiation. Don't you love that word? Jesus himself is the offering, the sacrifice, the payment for our sins. Not only for our sins, John says, but for the sins of the world. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ paid for all sin once and for all. So through faith, we're saved, redeemed, we're restored relationship to our Father God. And the Holy Spirit is constantly testifying to these truths, giving us confidence for an intimate, personal relationship with our Father God. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a sincere heart, with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. So spontaneously responding, Jesus tells us in John 14:26, but when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, when he comes, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So church, listen to this. When we learn to spontaneously respond to the Helper, Comforter, Counselor, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Equipper, Gift Giver, Fruit Bearer, Constant Companion, and God, so many more things he will arise within us. When faith arises in our life, we start to become more like Jesus, and our relationship with our Father God is strengthened. The Holy Spirit is continually testifying to your spirit, to my spirit, that we who have placed our faith in Jesus are new in Jesus, that our sins are forgiven, and he's waiting for each one of us to learn to walk and to spontaneously listen and follow the leading and filling and anointing by faith. See, without Jesus, we are hopeless. We are hopeless, in need still of the worthy, only worthy, acceptable, perfect, sinless sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But by faith in Jesus, we are completely accepted. We are perfect, sinless children of the living God, sealed by the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30. One of the things that you may struggle with, I find it in my own life, is this whole area of totally being forgiven or total forgiveness. Jesus, in this new covenant relationship with our Father through Jesus Christ, we are totally forgiven. The Holy Spirit is testifying this truth continually. However, as I mentioned earlier, the enemy is also seeking to steal this truth from us. Any Sherlock Holmes fans? Sir Arthur Conan, the author of the Sherlock Holmes detective novels, was also a practical joker. One time, he sent a telegram to 12 famous people in London whom he knew. The telegram read, "Flee at once. All is discovered." Although the 12 were upright citizens, they all quickly left the country. The story may be fictitious, but it illustrates the fact that a guilty conscience is a common thing. Even today, many of us in this room are uncertain how we may stand before a holy and just God because of past sin. These sins from our past often are out of sight, but often also come out of nowhere, causing us to question the truth of our forgiveness. You know, when this happens, we often become fearful. We often want to flee the country like those people that got the telegraph. We're full of fear because we're afraid that something is going to be revealed about us from our past. But even more seriously, when these floods from our past sin come upon us, we often wonder and question, are we truly, totally forgiven by God? You see, if you struggle like I have and still do in this area of assurance through Christ's obedience to God, we must truly understand what Hebrews 10:18 says. Now, where there is forgiveness of these, of sin, there is no longer any offering for sin. You see, Jesus Christ, the Hebrew writer, is getting this all throughout this letter. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Nothing else. It's Jesus. He's the best. He's better than the old way. He's the greatest. Your life is in Jesus. Everything before Jesus is taken care of by Jesus. Everything today is taken care of by Jesus. And anything in your future is cared for by Jesus. Your sin and everlasting life. The Hebrew writer, the Holy Spirit, is just a book. Everything is Jesus. And Jesus is everything. But we've got to understand that when the enemy comes in to steal from us, to destroy us, and to kill us, the voice that we must respond to spontaneously is not the enemy's voice, but the voice of the Spirit says, you are free. You're forgiven. You're a child of God. Walk away from the enemy. That's not your life. His demise is known, and he's trying to devour you. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Through our faith in Jesus, we have received complete and final once for all pardon for all sin, past, present, and future. As we live in Jesus, we must keep our hearts attuned to the voice, Spirit, and spontaneously let our faith arise to the truth. As we do, we will shut down the liar. We will end the deceiver's voice, and the enemy of our soul will flee because he has no authority on the child of God. Resist the devil and he will. Don't give him a spot. Don't even listen to his voice. What's under the blood is under the blood. What's forgiven is forgiven forever. And I am so thankful, as we all should be, that God says, I will choose. Jeremiah prophesied it. Hebrew writer wrote it. To remember your sin no more. Don't ever say that God forgot your sin. God cannot forget. He's perfect. But he has made a conscious choice as God to remember your sin never, ever again. Once and so I don't care what you did in the past. If you have faith in Jesus, God says, what past? You are in my Son. And you're totally forgiven and in covenant with me forever through your faith in my only begotten Son. Hallelujah. My goodness. Our response is learning to walk to the voice of the Spirit. Don't harden your hearts as men and women of old. Do you know what hardens our hearts? I could be here till the king returns to list things that harden our hearts. But what may harden mine may be different from yours, and what hardens yours may be different from mine. But you know the parable of the seed, which is the word of God. It falls on the soils of our heart. And the only soil that the seed takes root and grows in is the good soil. Soil, Jesus, and the work of the Spirit the moment we come to faith. As we listen, he shows us those weeds. We repent, he pulls them. He shows us those rocks. He removes them. He takes the truth that we all need to be having daily in our life, and he falls on a soil that's ready for it to begin growing. And it produces a harvest of 30, 60, or 100-fold. As we learn to walk in step, and as we learn the voice of the Spirit, as we learn to allow Him to lead us, we will have victory in the areas that keep stopping us. You will move from that past into the future. You will lose burdens at the cross once and for all and not pick them up again. By faith, we have power of the cross. Our faith arises to the witness of the Holy Spirit. As that faith arises within us, we will live daily in His presence of our Father God without fear or fault. As we learn to walk in step with the Spirit, we will live in the voice of the Holy Spirit, forgiven children of God. The Holy Spirit, that we can live by faith as disciples of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that the Spirit revealed this portion of Scripture in Hebrews from Jeremiah for us today as well. And folks, today's the day for salvation. Today's the day to get rid and remove the past from being a stumble for the future. Today's the day when you hear His voice, not to harden your hearts, but to listen and spontaneously respond to what He's calling you to do.